Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 440. In this podcast, I want to tell you about something new that I'm doing. And since it is Saturday night and I'm hanging out at home, which I don't usually do, and it reminds me of when I was a kid, just hanging out at home on Saturday night, that's what we're going to do in podcast 440. And thinking about when I was a kid makes me think of when we would go down to Florida at Christmas to see my grandfather. And now, my dad, for people who don't know, my dad was a scientist and had virtually, I mean, he understood business and management, but he was pretty much not interested in business per se. And we'd go down to Florida, and my grandfather, who was a promoter and businessman, would tell my dad, and this is a long time ago, okay? So he would tell my dad, you need to come down here to Florida and get into the real estate business, and you'll be a millionaire. And my dad didn't care about that. And I often think about that because, and I'll tell you why, because in retrospect, it actually was a good piece of advice from my grandfather to my dad. It's just he wasn't particularly interested in that. Now, you don't have to move to Florida or Texas or someplace like that and start acquiring property in some resort town in order to benefit from that advice, because history will show you that one of the paths to personal wealth is, in fact, through property ownership. And right now, you know, there's a lot of houses on the market. The real estate market is very interesting. Many people are still renting while they're waiting to purchase their first home or to move up to their next home. And the thing about the housing market is that there's a lot of these houses in the last 5 years or so that have been foreclosed on. So there's been houses sitting empty for extended periods of time. And then there are houses that have been renovated during the recession by fly-by-night house flippers and also shortly after the recession ended. So to negotiate that risk, you've got to have real estate professionals that understand the market. It's also true that interest rates have been at historically low levels for many years. There is pressure on the Fed to increase interest rates. So this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is in fact considering their first home. So I'm going to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a husband, wife, licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. So take a moment and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. You can check out their website at prideofhomes.com, or you can click on the bobdavispodcast.com banner with Eric and Aram there at the top of the page, or you can just simply reach out to them by calling them at 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. They are in the North and Northwest Metro, which is growing like a weed right now. Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. Luke Team Real Estate is great with customer service. So for real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, you don't always go out on Saturday night, especially if you're, you know, drive or you're not even at that age where, you know, 13 or 14, where you go down the street and hang out with your friends. You know, when you're 10 or 11, you kind of just stay home because that's what you do on Saturday night, unless you've got a sleepover planned or something like that. And I would watch movies on TV, and then I would run around the house and, I don't know, do stuff. And you get bored on Saturday. You know, Saturday night when you're a kid, you get bored. And I can remember asking my mom, you know, what is there to do, or, you know, something like that. And she'd say, go do something creative then. Go read a book or write something or go do paint something. And it'd be like, oh, God. And I don't even know what I did, but it reminds me of that because I decided to stay home tonight on Saturday night. And I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I got a couple more podcasts to do before the end of the month, so I'm just going to do a podcast. And rarely do I just sit down and roll tape, as I like to refer to it, the podcast machine, and not have anything really prepared. I mean, I know about what I want to talk about, but rarely do I just sit down here without really anything prepared and talk about stuff, just stuff and things. And it's disconcerting because I don't like to do that because I like to try to get as much content in a podcast as I can, but it's the weekend. And if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, actually, this is the perfect antidote to Sunday morning, because I'm not going to talk about news events and things going on, because I want to talk about some of the things I'm doing and some of my observations related to that in this podcast, podcast 440. So I want to talk about my new radio show, which is, don't freak out because it's not that big of a deal, but I have been looking for a partner to work with for a while, and I found it in GCN Live, which is GCNLive.com is the name of the website. And it is obviously considerably larger than the BobDavisPodcast.com, but I'm going to do something I think is kind of special with Genesis Communications, and that is I'm taking the podcasts back to radio. So I'm doing a one-hour weekly show, which will eventually be syndicated to radio. We don't have any radio stations yet, and honestly, I don't know if any radio stations are going to pick it up, but it will certainly be on the GCNLive.com site. And the idea is to take podcasting to the radio, because what most radio stations do is, you know, they record their live shows and they make podcasts out of them, and then the podcasts are available. If you miss the show or if you just don't listen to the radio, you can listen to the podcast, right? And that's kind of neat. But here's what I figured out, and here's what I learned, and this is why I'm really, really excited about this. I thought, if I want to do a show, they called me and said, we'd love to have you on the Genesis Communications Network. This is the same, these are the same people that distribute Alex Jones and a number of other shows. And then they did distribute Jason Lewis when he had a talk show. So it's pretty cool. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to do a live show. I really don't want to sit here and do a live show. And I'll talk about that in a second. What am I going to do? And then I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll take pieces of the podcast and I'll do a show. And in the process of putting together, and I went over and I met with those guys, and they said, well, you know, why don't you try it and see what you think, and then you know, if you still want to do it, we'd be glad to hook you up. So I don't think this is any great compliment to me. I just think they're looking for people to put content on their website. So, well, perfect. And I came back and I sat down in the studio and I started to sort of mess around, and I discovered something which I thought was true, but I wasn't sure. And that is podcasts. And I imagine this is probably true for a lot of podcasters. It's certainly true with me. There is a boatload more content in a podcast, even if it's a half an hour, than you can possibly get into an hour of talk radio. And I knew this, but I was shocked. Now, I'm obviously a talk radio veteran, and I'm a radio veteran, and I kind of understand that podcasting and radio are different mediums. You know, I think a lot of people think podcasting is like radio, and a lot of times I'll describe it as audio on demand. It's like Netflix for radio. But even with Netflix, you know, you look at the shows that Netflix produces for Netflix, and I'll give you a great example. And I'm going to start going all over the place and talking in different directions and spilling my coffee all over my brand new carpeting. But I don't know if you've watched Longmire on Netflix. Longmire started out on a television network. I don't remember which one. It was a broadcast show. And it was okay. And I mean, it all centers around the guy. This guy wrote these books, Longmire, and it's basically a character study. It focuses on this rural Wyoming sheriff and his trials and tribulations, okay? And the TV show, it was okay. I mean, it was very, you know, when you see shows that are made exclusively for television, they are different in texture and writing and the way that they look than shows which are made exclusively for HBO or Showtime or now Netflix. And just think of what House of Cards would be like if it had to be an hour-long television show, because you're locked into these breaks and you struggle to get the same level of content in broadcast that you can get in shows that are made exclusively for, you know, just they start out and they run until they're done. So they run 40 minutes or 42 minutes. You could never get a show like The Walking Dead on a broadcast television network. It would be impossible. And even on cable, it's questionable if there's ads in it. So you have to have a show like that on, same with Breaking Bad. It had to be on HBO or Showtime or one of those networks. Even Sons of Anarchy was a little too TV-y for me because it's basically built on that format. And so just that's a good example. Think of House of Cards versus any broadcast television show. And then getting back to the Longmire thing. Longmire went, I think they did three seasons on broadcast TV, and then they came over to Netflix exclusively in the fourth season. And the fourth season of Longmire is already better than all the other seasons because it's made exclusively for Netflix. So people are binge watching. It's shot more like a movie. You can see them trying to do some Breaking Bad stuff, you know, trying to experiment around with static shots and, you know, long shots and things like that to try to build in more movie type cinematic aspects to the show versus television, which generally tends to be headshots. Television, the history of television is obviously it was considered the small screen, and so it emphasizes the head. And it's true that if you have a giant head, you will do better on television than in movies. People with large heads do well in television, or so I'm told. But I'm kind of coming across the same kind of dynamic with podcasting, because the thing I learned in bringing the podcasts to radio, to a radio show, is that there is an awful lot of content in podcasts. And this doesn't mean I'm going to slack off. In fact, it just causes me to redouble the effort. But why do I say that? Well, I'm just sitting here looking at the piece of paper that I use to build the segments. And they have exact times, and each segment is like 9:59 or 8:59 or 10:59 or whatever, so that the networks can join and the spots can run and everything else. And so you have to build it because each segment has to be exact times, and then you have to have 15 seconds of music in and 15 seconds of music out and that kind of stuff. But 9 minutes is not very long to develop an idea. And so when I go through the podcast and I look for stuff to use, I find myself using 6 and 7 minute segments of podcasts that are pretty in depth, whether it's about politics, whether it's travel, you know, whatever I'm doing. So I'm really excited about doing the show. Now, this is a 1 hour show, so it's 4 segments, roughly 9 to 10 minutes per segment. And I don't know that anyone has done this in radio. Probably they have, because I'm not that original, but I'm unaware of anybody who's taking their podcast back to radio. And I think you're going to see this happen a lot more, because radio stations, first of all, are getting away from taking calls. I first encountered that at KTAR in Phoenix. The program director there was a really pretty forward-thinking guy, and I remember him telling me, you know, because I was kind of trolling for calls the first couple of shows I did for them. And I remember the guy telling me, and I really didn't understand. I didn't understand it because I was so used to that format of you go on and you say something, and I'm just, you know, you get a certain level of training where you are taught to, you know, really hit it in the first 15 seconds to a minute. You have to come on and say, I don't like eggs. Eggs suck, and people who eat them are terrible, and they're the worst thing that you could possibly eat. Give me a call, 651-989-5855, or whatever the number was. And Russ said, you know, we don't take calls. We don't need to take calls. We don't need to talk to the audience. The idea is that we're having a conversation internally about whatever we're talking about. We don't feel the need to take calls. And, you know, it was the same kind of thing where the segments were 9 to 10 minutes long. And I remember thinking in radio, you know, you would get used to doing that. And you thought 9 or 10 minutes was kind of long if you didn't really have something to talk about, or if you were kind of rooting around. And now I think about it and I think, you know, I've already been talking for, you know, 9 minutes. And it's weird because you learn in podcasting to just kind of roll it out and not worry too much about how long it takes. And, you know, it's much more conversational. But KTAR was the first that didn't really care if they got calls, didn't even want calls. He said to me, most of these people are, you know, that call in don't add anything anyway. And, you know, I agreed with him, but I was still used to taking calls. And then I also encountered it when I filled in at WIBC. And I did the same thing. I trolled for calls. They never called me back, by the way, which is fine. But I learned in podcasting a new way to communicate. I learned to communicate without getting calls. I learned to develop ideas and reach down inside and get the stuff that's deep down inside your heart and your mind to talk about, as well as the days and news events of the day and so forth. So these podcasts are pretty rich in content, and I don't think there's too many people that are taking their podcasts back to radio. So I think this is pretty revolutionary in that aspect, and I'm really, really excited about it. And actually, I produced the second show Thursday night, Friday morning, Thanksgiving. And I really had a good time producing it. I really had fun, kind of pressing that content down into 8 and 9 minute segments. And it's available at gcnlive.com. I'll let you know as radio stations pick it up. But the Bob Davis podcast will not be available at gcnlive.com. And the gcnlive.com show will not be available here at the Bob Davis podcast. I'm telling you about it now if you want to listen to it, but hopefully it'll get on the radio at some point, and we'll see whether people either hate it or gravitate toward it. But it's one of the things that I'm doing. It's one of the things that I wanted to talk about and let people know about, because it's kind of, there's been a lot of groundbreaking things for me this year in the BobDavisPodcast.com world. We're coming up on the end of the year, of course. It's only Thanksgiving, but believe me, it's going to happen very quickly that we're going to be on January 1st. I wish it was going to be July 1st coming up. And I was just looking back on the year today thinking, wow, I've done a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of growth here, even if it doesn't feel like that completely to me. So I thought I would just do a podcast and talk about some of that stuff. Well, I just got back. You know, one of the things I'm doing tonight is relaxing, because I just got back from doing yoga. And I love doing yoga, and I love getting a chance to talk about yoga in the podcasts. And I've been using this stuff called Hydrus, which is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness without the sugar in traditional sports drinks. Now, that is the actual official language that describes what Hydrus does. Let me tell you what it does for me. I love doing yoga. I practice every day. You know, a lot of Minnesotans say, how can you do that in that super hot, you know, a lot of rooms that are over 100 degrees, a lot of people in there. I did a class was it the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, or even maybe Thanksgiving, with 31 people in it, over 100 degrees, and everyone's sweating. And as a process, if you're doing it every day, like anything that you do that's physically demanding, whether you run or you bike or you do CrossFit, you accept soreness and some pain every now and then that kind of degrades your practice and causes injuries. But here's the thing about this stuff, this Hydrus. It actually helps deal with that, so that you get faster recovery times, you don't have the pain, and you don't have your practice degraded. So again, whether you bike, do CrossFit, SoulCycle, workout with weights, or anything that can be physically demanding, let me tell you about Hydrus. I described what it is, and I will tell you from experience, Hydrus has transformed my yoga practice. I can practice every day regularly, and I don't have any soreness or pain, and I could go on and on and on, because I love talking about yoga. And it's really about being able to do the stuff that you love to do. Increased work capacity, no bloating, it reduces fatigue and cramping, it improves recovery, it uses no sugar and there's no calories, and it's been tested with world-class athletes. If you have a kid in sports, I highly recommend Hydrus. Before, during, and after exercise, join the performance hydration revolution. It's incredible, really. You can check it out by going to hydrusperformance.com. That's H-Y-D-U-R performance.com, or click on the Hydrus ad at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. That page will explain it to you, explain how to get it, and explain what it does. And thanks, Hydrus, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast and for making my yoga great. Well, I want to thank one of my favorite sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Alpha Systems, for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast these last few weeks. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. I've told you about it. You guys in the aviation industry will know exactly what I'm talking about. Alpha Systems is FAA approved, and they want to get into your avionics package, because Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. A lot of people will actually tell you that their lives were saved saved by this AOA indicator. Click on the banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the BobDavisPodcast.com. So yeah, Saturday night sitting around the house doing a podcast, hanging out, just like I was when I was a kid. And I do feel like a kid. When you're in business for yourself, you don't feel like you're working, even if you work an awful lot. Like here I am on Saturday night working, but it isn't work. This is just me having fun. What else did I want to say about podcasting and radio? So this is a one-hour show. So this is the kind of show that the GCN live show. So it's called, oh yeah, I should tell people what it's called. It's called my penchant for really long, difficult names. It's called the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. And I don't know if they're going to put it up on GCNlive.com as the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I hope they do. And the idea was to affiliate with somebody who had a bigger website than mine so that we could do some cross promotion and maybe I could draw some people into the BobDavisPodcast.com. So if you're one of those people that have found the BobDavisPodcast.com radio show, then welcome to the homepage for the podcasts in total. And vice versa, if you listen to it, if you go to GCNlive.com and listen to it, let me know what you think. The idea is it's a one-hour show. Now, in radio syndication land, radio stations, especially on the weekend, have content issues because talk radio, there are so many of these paid shows, as well as shows that just don't fit into the schedule. So they have a lot of just open hours, and I'm talking about nationwide radio stations. So this is designed for radio stations to pick up on Saturday or Sunday morning or Saturday or Sunday late at night. When they have an open hour and they don't, and they can just pull it off. You can just pull it off. If you're in radio and you want the show, you can pull it off the Westwood satellite and it's right there. So you just put it on the air. And I don't know when they put it on the Westwood satellite, but you can either tape it or just air it live from the satellite. But, that's the idea. The idea is it's for radio stations to just air in sort of a spot like, 8 o'clock on Saturday morning or something, because the Saturday morning guy doesn't come in till 9, let's say, or he doesn't, it's from 9 to 10 on Saturday morning. And I don't want to go too in detail about that, but I will say, I've been pretty hard on radio in these podcasts, and I'll probably continue to be hard on radio in these podcasts because I don't feel that the talk radio format is progressing for a lot of reasons. I don't know whether it's demographics. I don't know whether it is the management of radio stations or what's going on. Maybe it's just the nature of technology with so many people coming to podcasting that if you like radio, and I know a lot of people that listen to these podcasts like talking about radio and they like hearing about inside stories about radio and inside stuff about radio. I don't know why, but they do. I think the way that a lot of the traditional mainstream media is communicating is doing very much a disservice to people in terms of, it seems to be that they're designed to get you upset. It seems to be like reading Twitter. When I sit and look at my Twitter feed, I have to turn it off because it's just, F you, left-wing people, F you, right-wing people, it's ridiculous. And a lot of talk radio is like that. Not all of it, but a lot of talk radio is like that. And that's why when I left talk radio, not necessarily by my choice, it was actually the best thing that could have happened to me because I really had to forge a new way of thinking and communicating through podcasting. And now I can say that I've done that. Not only are they viable in terms of an advertising tool, just ask the clients of the BobDavisPodcast.com, but I've done enough of them now that I really know what works and what doesn't work and how to do it. And if you're going to do something on a remote basis, or if you're going to go out and be live someplace, there's a way to do it so that it sounds good. Those are the kinds of things that I've gotten really, really excited about. And also getting really, really excited about building the website out and building up, ideas for the website, which I'll talk about in a second. But, I don't want people to go, oh, well, now suddenly the radio's okay now that he's doing this radio show, because that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is taking this way of communicating and condensing it and putting it on the radio. And I think that's a significantly different thing. This isn't me sitting in a studio at 9 a.m. doing a show from 9 until 1 or doing a show from 10 p.m. until midnight. And people say, oh, love to have you back on the radio. Well, now I'm back on the radio. It's just not going to be live. And I think part of the problem is the way that it's done. People go on the radio and you're supposed to go on and say things and people are supposed to call. And most of the companies don't provide they expect the talent to bring the show in. They don't do anything. They just expect the talent to bring the show in. And what do most talent got? Most people come in and they just do a show and they expect people to call. And if you ever do a talk show, you know, it's natural for people to think that they're going to sit down and you will visualize, you're going to sit there and you're going to say a few things and you're going to visualize 25 lines lit up with people calling in. And I've done shows at radio stations that have 25 lines and, you know, you look down and they don't ring. And so then the tendency is to do a bunch of stuff to get people to call, to gin it up, so to speak, to get people to call. And then you're into this argument that almost inevitably ensues. But the other thing that happens is people are all getting their information from Fox News or CNN, and to a lesser extent from Drudge. That's when they talk about going on the internet, it's mostly Drudge. And there's not really new information. When I first started doing talk radio, you know, you would get calls from people who really did know stuff that you didn't know and that the audience didn't know because they had experienced something or they were experiencing something. Now what happens is you take calls and you hear from people that are just going to repeat what they heard Brett Baier say, you know, or whatever. And I think that's a big problem. So that's the idea of saying, you know, let's try something new. Let's take content from podcasts and put it on the radio. Now, here's where it's really going to get fun. It's going to get fun because what I plan to do after February 1st is climb aboard Mobile Podcast Command and head down to the Iowa caucuses and then keep going. And I'm doing that because one of the things that I learned this year, and this is one of the great things about doing this, I would never have been able to do this if I'd had a job in radio, but I was able to do it because I was doing my own thing, going out and covering events in my ambulance, which I refer to as Mobile Podcast Command. And, you know, I can put all the audio equipment in there and I can have studio level audio quality podcasts from the vehicle. And I went out, as you know, if you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcast, and I started covering events on my own. And I had a major eye-opening. Now, I'd been to events. It's not like I'd never been to an event. Been to two Republican conventions. You know, I was aware of what sort of happens. But I had not covered events in other cities that were political events that were nationally of interest. And it is fascinating when you see the media show up to turn these events into even bigger events because of the media. So I think what's really going to be great, both for the podcast and the show, is starting in February, I'm going to go down, cover the caucus in Iowa, and then we're going to go through the Mid-South and try to go to some political events. It's really hard to figure out where they're going to be if you're not plugged into the whole Republican or Democrat political world, but I'm working on that. And I'm going to go to, so Mid-South, why? Because the Mid-South is a lot of Super Tuesdays, a lot of Super Tuesday primary states. This is the day, I don't remember the exact date, but it's in March, where I don't know how many states, I think it's 36 or whatever states have primary elections on that day. And a lot of those states happen to be in the Mid-South. So a lot of people have referred to it as a Southern primary. Isn't that the Super Tuesday? So I'm going to go through Tennessee and Kentucky and Virginia, and some of my favorite places, you know, are some of these little towns in Kentucky and Tennessee, and then places like Bristol, Virginia, and on into South Carolina, which is going to be having a primary right after New Hampshire. So shortly after the Iowa caucuses, I'm rolling across those mid-South states. We will end up in South Carolina prior to the primary there. After that, I'm going to head down to Florida, which has a primary a little bit later, but I'm also going to go through Georgia. And Georgia has a primary, I think, pretty soon, pretty far up in the schedule. I don't have the schedule in front of me, so forgive me for not knowing this. But I think that both the podcast and the radio show are going to get really interesting because, you know, there's going to be a lot of content in those travels. So many interesting people in that part of the world. And I've got contacts in Kentucky and Tennessee, and hopefully they can introduce me to some fun people, as well as Iowa. And then on down to Florida. And I'm going to go all the way down the east coast of Florida, all the way down to the Keys. I have friends in Gainesville, and I have friends in West Palm Beach, and then I'm heading all the way to the Keys, and then I'm going to come back up and come up the west coast of Florida and come up through the Panhandle and stop in Panama City, and then on through Louisiana and Texas, back up 35 north from hopefully the Gulf Coast. I don't know when. I don't know how long it's going to take me to do that, but that's going to be a mega trip. And the On the Road podcasts are fantastic because the road trip podcasts really provide a lot of content because there's so many amazing things to see, and I'm really, really excited about that. So I guess the last thing that I want to talk about in this podcast as far as new things and discovering new things, number one, I still can't believe that I get to do this. I still can't believe that my sponsors have been kind enough to, advertise with the BobDavisPodcast.com long enough for them to start to see results. And so I'm really appreciative of all of the Bob Davis Podcast advertisers, which I will thank on New Year's Eve as I always do. But it's really great that I get to do this, and I'm still amazed by that. So there's been a lot of realizations about staying in business and being in business for yourself and, you know, what you learn and how you learn to, keep going. And this year, the thing that has surprised me the most is that there were times this year, and there will be times this year, where it was actually more fun for me to build up my business than it was to actually do the podcast. I'm really getting excited about being an entrepreneur. I think it's really fun. And I really didn't, that surprised me because I really never considered myself a businessman, so to speak. But I'm really having fun solving problems, figuring out what some of those problems you have been aware of, figuring out solutions to problems. There's a lot of stuff you haven't been aware of that I've had problems with. But one of the things that I did do, you know, I'm not a big fan of blogging. I ended up blogging. I thought I was going to have a blog and then there'd be all these podcasts on the page. And what's happened is that I tend to write a blog every time I do a podcast, anywhere between 150 and 250 words. So that essentially is a blog anyway. So there's a blog and then there is the podcast that you can listen to. And the blog describes what's in each podcast. So, and I was never a big fan of blogging. I don't know why. I just, you know, I mean, I respect bloggers that do it because there's a lot of attribution and you really, you know, it's essentially it's journalism. And I, this is my medium, you know, talking and doing radio and making podcasts is kind of my medium. I don't really like blogging in that respect. I can do it. I just don't feel it. And then I thought, well, instead of blogging, I should put up an audio book. And then it was a whole thing about, well, what should I do? Because every talk show host has some book that is some book about government. It's always about politics or government or something like that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to write fiction. So I put up the audiobook section, and the first chapter of The Chieftain 2021 is up, and I'm going to put each chapter up, and you buy them by the chapter as opposed to buying the whole book. Once the whole thing is done, I suppose people can buy the whole book. I'll have to figure that out. But here's the thing. Why fiction? And I think that what happened was that it was a cumulative effect of really being disgusted with news media coverage of day-to-day political events. And aside from the fact that I had this idea, I mean, this is a story that has been written for a long time in my world. And it needed to be fleshed out. It needed to be redone in a different way. And that was part of it. But I think I realized that, you guys know I watch a lot of television. People listen to these podcasts love television shows. And I don't watch broadcast TV. I just Netflix and iTunes like a madman. and or somebody comes over and we rip shows and watch them. And so I watch all these shows, Ray Donovan, Walking Dead, Don't Fear the Walking Dead, blah, 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 blah. You know, Longmire. There aren't too many shows on Netflix that I haven't seen. And same with the movies. And I've come to the conclusion that you can do more and say more with fiction these days than you can with fact, unless you're doing something like driving through the country or you're spending some time to actually get down to the nub of an issue, like I did with the Donald Trump stuff not too long ago, or covering the Scott Walker event. So the fiction enables you to work in a medium that allows you to talk about things that you wouldn't be able necessarily to talk about, you know, on the radio, or especially if you're looking for calls or do a podcast about, because so much of the political world is so, and I'm referring again to Twitter or Facebook, it's so argumentative and people are so argumentative that it's become so much of an A-B kind of conversation, whereas fiction, people could just be part of the story and they don't really think about arguing. They just listen or read and they don't have to argue it anymore. They just listen and it's entertaining. And from a writer's standpoint, you really have to think hard about what you're trying to say. You have to think hard about how you're going to play it. And obviously, once you create characters, they start walking and talking and doing things that they want. I mean, it's really interesting there. So I'm looking forward to writing a lot more in the next couple of months and in 2016 and putting up more chapters of The Chieftain. And I think you guys will really enjoy the plot and what happens in that story because it's kind of fun. And I do have to also thank my son because my son and I have been kind of collaborating on this. And his collaboration is he argues with me. I call him up and tell him what I want to do in the story. And then we have big arguments about it. And then that kind of is the crucible that we're kind of hammering out the story. So he's definitely a collaborative part of this. And so are people that send me emails about, well, what's this all about or what's that all about? Margaret Martine sent me an email. Now, this is a fictional group of people. I mean, these people do not exist. This isn't a nonfiction story. This is fiction. And she said, I know those people. I know those people down to the plant closing. And I was like, don't tell me anymore because I don't want to know, number one. Because I don't want there to be, I mean, any relationship or what is it? What's the line? It's a coincidence if these people resemble anyone in real life. But that's how it works. You know, you kind of channel stuff and you write it and it kind of becomes real. And people see in it people they know that are real, which is the real function of that kind of, I guess you could say, that kind of art. And I'm really excited about that too. So I guess I'll go upstairs and watch some TV shows. I guess I'll go watch some movies. It's really actually pretty early on Saturday night. Well, you guys know I love talking about technology in these podcasts. And when it comes to technology and manufacturing, I've learned an awful lot about tech and manufacturing from John Bocklund at Bocklund R&D. So if you're starting to look for a manufacturer, you can learn about Bocklund R&D at Bocklund.com. That's Bocklund.com. So when you go to that website, you're going to see a lot of information and details about the latest developments at Bocklund, which include micro machining and micro molding of implantable plastics and metals. Let me tell you about this. Most small parts have to be assembled. It's complicated. It's costly. But with micro machining, Bocklund manufactures small work with a single piece of material. The result is more accuracy, strength, and a more durable part. Micro molding starts at 0.003 cubic inches and below, and it's done in a clean room environment, which is actually perfect for medical devices and electronics. So if you go to the page also at Bocklund.com, you're going to hear about thermoset molding, micro CNC machining, design and prototyping for your part or product, and of course, 3D printing, which is where we started out with Bocklund. Remember the Bocklund R&D standards. Wicked fast turnaround times, real client service, real resources about Bocklund at Bocklund.com, innovative solutions, Bocklund research and development. Contact John Bocklund or Vice President Tara Bocklund at Bocklund.com and ask what they can do for you. Find out what energy, wisdom, knowledge, and imagination can do for your company today. Bocklund.com, Bocklund.com. Once again, thanks to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 440. I love Hydrus because it enables me to recover faster. I can do yoga every day. Sometimes I can double dip, and I don't have the troubles that are often associated with not being fully hydrated, because Hydrus hydrates you. It gets electrolytes into your muscles without sugar. So increased work capacity, no bloating, reduces fatigue and cramping, improves recovery, as I said, no sugar, and there's no calories, and it's been tested with world-class athletes. Check it out at HydrusPerformance.com, HydrusPerformance.com, performance.com, Hydrus. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. And once again, take my grandfather's advice, because history shows that one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. Contact Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro. They are ready to help you find the right house for investment or to live in. Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. I was just up there this weekend, had dinner at the Pittsburgh Blue in Maple Grove, and it's really a growing area for sure. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, or you can reach out directly to them at 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. And of course, Bockland R&D. Micro machining is all the rage these days, and Bockland can tell you all about it. Check out their website and learn about all of the things that Bockland does, whether it's micro machining or design and prototyping for your part or product. And of course, where we started with Bockland was 3D printing. Bockland.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com, Bockland.com. And thanks, John, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. And thanks, you guys, for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, and checking out the brand new radio show, the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show on GCNLive.com. Let me know what you think. Thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. It's keeping me in Komodo Dragon Coffee and Diesel Fuel in Mobile Podcast Command. And that is what it is used exclusively for. All right. Time to get back to some shows. Maybe I'll watch a Longmire or two, or maybe that new Jessica Jones show on Netflix. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 440. Blah, blah.